Yeah, I'm not, though. Just listen from the beginning again. You know, sit aside a couple of days, call in sick to work, say, sorry, yeah. I got a touch of burning beard.
The Sunday Skypers. A RPG actual play podcast.
Let's cast our minds back into the past and think about all the glorious and vainglorious things we've done since leaving Marl.
So, well, actually, one way to help us is that we were smart and kept track of all our old beliefs that we actually wouldn't done. That should at least help us have some idea what we're doing.
It might help you remember how you approached either dumping them or completing them. So, yes, that's good. And in Vandal's case, most of them have stayed the same anyway, as I recall. Oh, wait, you have an awful lot of...
And most of mine are beer-related.
Yours.
Of course, it's in your blood. Duh.
Literally. So, all the fun stuff we've been through, or the dwarves have been through, and not so fun stuff, I think maybe we should start with Ulfkell. He's a vital part, evidently, clearly, of in the fellowship, keeping everything lubricated. But he may not be, you know, super upfront and present for everything. You know, in the big, huge elements, except for the whole raid on the goblin stuff. I have some like reputation suggestions.
Okay.
Like for one, I think it's high time we up your one die up and coming Nogger to two dice. By now, considering you're palling around with the prince, you're the supplier for his expedition and all the stuff you've been through, it's a little odd to still consider Ulfkell, you know, that kid brewer on the block.
Nope, you're right. So take that to two dice.
I think he's achieved enough fame that more people would know. So you have a little more name weight to throw around when you use circles. Also, like I said before, you've been tasting an awful lot of things, licking hands and tasting beers and stuff like that.
Aye.
If you all remember. So I thought giving him a trait like taster, like a character trait straight up.
All right.
So he can't choose a skill like taste-wise?
Well, he can open it, certainly.
All right, so under character traits, there we go.
I couldn't come up with a more fanciful name, but maybe we don't need that anyway. Now, you're actually given a trait, which means that you have sort of license to take the story in a new direction by tasting things. You get fate points for that.
Ooh.
What, something like lick and sniff?
My liege, let me kiss your ring. Oh, you didn't wash your hands. You had bacon and eggs this morning.
Jeez. It's like kiss, not salivate.
Yeah, you don't French kiss the ring.
All right. Yeah, that's the main things that I had in mind for Ulfkell personally. If there's anything else that anyone else remembers in the way he's approached his beliefs, this is a voting process, so we have to all really accept Ulfkell. John. John doesn't have a say in this, which is hilarious. Yeah. It's only us three. Are we in accord that he should get a like taster type trait, or do you have a different suggestion?
I like that, actually, because it is something that he will gladly jump ahead of the pack and taste it.
It's my only analytical tool I have.
What's that glittery stuff over there on that rock?
Oh, it's my finger. Lick, you know, rub it on there. Lick it. Arsenic. Flop.
Yukon Cornelius. That's name of the character.
Bumbles don't. Bumbles bounce.
Yes, but you know he's always throwing that pick and then tasting the tip of it.
Ah, all right, cool. But then let's give him taster. Are there any other ideas you have from like recalling what Ulfkell has done and how he's dealt with things that you think he should maybe have some other trait?
obsessive compulsive?
Sorry.
I think we have that.
Okay.
He does already have the obsessed character trait.
Okay. And I'm meticulous.
All right. Now, is there something among Okel's traits that absolutely shouldn't be there? You know, according to how he's been played, like possibly seen, not heard? Or yeah,
I have not been that. I have not been that.
Yeah.
Is that something that should go?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Todd?
Sure.
Okay. Then we remove see, not heard, and add taster instead then.
Blustered your way right
it's
out.
It's not like Wolf Killer is, you know, a common, you know, shy dwarf, you know. Played by Brian Blessed.
All right. Well, that's all I had for him anyway. And we eliminated something there. For Fandral, I figured we should raise his heroic 1D reputation to a 2D heroic reputation, considering his one-on-one fight, more or less, with Grok, and surviving the poison draft and all that.
All right.
They'll deserve it. And
weren't you still poisoned when you went into that fight?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a dwarf's dwarf.
Well, yes, he was still suffering the wound from the poisoning. Yes.
But, yes. And then he took on the goblin chief, Mano a Mano. So.
Who was one and a half again his size.
Well, fighting uphill is a dwarven tradition.
But I also thought I'd suggest something like Undaunted for Fandral for a character trait, considering just what he did, you know, being poisoned, facing Grok anyway, and just generally keeping up the beat in spite of everything. I figured Undaunted would be something that you might later evolve into, like Fearless or a similar die trait that affects your ability to keep your wits about you when you have to test steel. Also, it'll give you, an excuse to earn fate points when you just face impossible odds, thinking, I'm Fandral, this doesn't matter to me.
It's just a small dragon.
Does that sound like something appropriate, Todd and John?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So we want to vote that onto Fandral?
Yep.
All right.
Make it so.
Make it so, Dirk. Are there any other traits you can think of that he's maybe earned through play, the way he's played?
Yes, golden tongue.
Oh, cool.
I mean, he has done a lot of talking to people and convinced them doing things just by talking to them.
Is that what he's been doing with his beliefs? I know he roused the dwarves before the goblin fight.
Yeah, and he assembled the company, and he defended his honor.
That's last time, though. Consider this like your moral from a moral and to now portion.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, he did stir the troops. Okay, maybe not gift that golden tongue. Maybe.
Well, he has a reputation as a leader.
Maybe we should think of it in a different way. He's not. He's not the kind of dwarfy leader who really wades into the fore with a loud, boisterous voice and just sort of browbeats people into doing stuff. Sort of subtle. His mode of solving things have been pretty much hang back, evaluate, and then use his wits.
Oh, you mean a puppeteer trait? Lead from behind.
He's a thinker.
Well, is there any way we can make that into a trait that he could use for, because I have this trait, I'm going to act in this way and earn a fake point.
If this was fate, I would say, I have a cunning plan. A cunning leader.
I think I have a cunning plan is a delightful turn of phrase. unless Dirk considers that to be...
Too baldric?
no, not too baldric, but words, yes. Defiling his character sheet.
Well, it's sort of more of continuing evolution of the resourceful trait.
I suppose. You're right. You have resource.
Yeah.
Well, we could evolve that into something. We could make that into a call-on trait or a character trait or something, a die trait or something.
Die trait. Based on his position, wasn't that like something he got last time?
Yes,
he got resourceful last time. So it would totally be appropriate to up that if you want to do that. Yeah. Like maybe give him, like maybe make it a call on trait if he has a plan. You know, if he goes into a test with a plan, he taps, I have a cunning plan to test it again.
Or a cunning mind.
Well, what's the opposite of impulsive?
This is tactical. Really about being able to, you know, take stock of a situation and plan for it and having an edge because of that.
Tactical mind?
Or strategist?
Sure, that sounds cool.
Yeah, we basically evolve resourceful into strategists. Yeah.
That works for me.
And should we make that a call on trait or something else? Call on trait is what you can call on if you tie or fail a test. You can test it again and hopefully get more successes than you did last time.
Yeah, I say yeah.
You know, when he has a plan in place, he can call on, what did you call it? Strategist.
Strategist.
Yes, to retest something.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Make it so. Cool. So a character trait and a call on trait. I think that's good enough for this time. Oh, and reputation, of course. So let's swivel on over to Flint. First of all, I have a reputation suggestion, which is where we evolve your one die right hand of the prince reputation into a two die Prince Fandral's executioner.
Oh, I like that.
I don't know that I like the sound of that exactly.
Well, it is what he is.
Executioner for the prince, maybe.
Well, okay. Is there a less sinister sounding version of that that we could give him? Anton, don't be afraid to suggest something.
I actually kind of like that because, man, when I need to re-roll that intimidation.
Maybe instead of right hand of the prince, axe of the prince or something.
Oh, yeah, that would work too.
That's kind of the same thing, though. And,
yeah,
and considering
more,
what he's been doing,
it's more
the right hand axe.
Yeah. It seems a little more toward the violent.
the prince's axe man.
Well, if you think it's frightfully inappropriate, all of you, then let's just...
No, I like the idea that he's basically the prince's go-to person when he needs to get him offed.
See, the right hand was I'm being helpful.
Yeah.
You know, Axeman of the prince is like, oh, so your help is keenly different than being a fetch. Axeman is actually a... positive, at least as I see from a dwarven perspective. It's like, well, given that I am a axe bearer,
yes,
being the axe man of the prince, I would have no problem with that.
Is that better then?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's go with that then. 2D axe man of the prince.
And that replaces right hand?
Yes. All right. Now I have two possibilities. One is on the extreme side, and the other is on the less extreme side. We can start with the extreme first, only since I should mention it as a point of order. Maybe a murderous character trait for Flint, considering his vehement sentencing of Drolf and certain tangential goblin slayings. That is a possibility that we should think over. There's also a character trait like Thug or something similar, considering his copious intimidation attempts, poking and dragging people right and left. And these are things that he, you know, Flint has been doing in the pursuit of his beliefs, right? You know, I'm going to find the people responsible. I'm going
to
make
restore
certain people
honor
pay.
To his family.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, not his family necessarily, but
restore honor.
Regarding the murderous and thug character traits, what are your thoughts, Dirk and John? If we think back on how Flint has acted on his beliefs throughout this little jaunt into the underway. Admittedly, murderous is a bit strong, but it's there because, hey, it should be there as an option. Thug is perhaps more appropriate, or something like Thug.
Aggressive?
Yeah.
Headstrong?
That is something definitely possible.
Headstrong?
Well, but he's a dwarf. Is he a particularly headstrong dwarf? I would totally take aggressive over the others. I think that sounds, personally, I think that sounds appropriate. It's less extreme than murderous, and it's less specific than thug, which is a little boring. And it's certainly the way he's approached solving beliefs, you know, dragging people, getting at stuff, pursuing results like the poisoner and so forth.
Yeah, and if you call him thug, then you have to carry his crossbow sideways when he fires them. But you know.
So is that cool with Dirk?
Yeah, aggressive, yeah.
Okay, so that's a yay from all of us.
So is that like 1D, comma, aggressive?
No, no, no. This is a character trait. You write it down under your character traits. Let's see then. Is there anything on among his traits that really shouldn't be there?
He's not been quirky.
I think being on a mission is good for Flint. When he's not tied down to a specific mission, you know, that's when he gets quirky and bored. Since he's focused on scouting and the betterment of his dwarves and safety and all that, he hasn't been quirky. Now, if we were sitting in camp for a week, he'd probably turn into a practical joker or something like that.
Well, so, I, you know, we also we can definitely vote it back on at a later point if you play to that. But
You really have not been quirky. So, you've been very practical.
So strike it out or delete it?
Delete it. This is how the trick vote works. You know, however we played to our beliefs is and in general, but mainly to the beliefs is how it shapes the characters. And then if we play toward the other side, it'll come back or you'll evolve.
Sure. So characters evolve. Cool.
Yes. Yes.
All right, so I think I'm good. We're aggressive. We're the Axeman of the Prince. Since I've been focused and dutiful and all that fun stuff, we're not as quirky as we used to be. Works for me.
Oh, Dirk, add the caveat to strategist that it's a call-on trait when you have a plan in place, right? When you go into a test and you have a plan in place, then you can call on strategist.
All right.
Okay, I think it seems like we have the clerical stuff out of the way, and you have your new stuff.
Yay!
All right, so I'm pondering where to start this.
The party. Yeah, the party where we celebrate our victory.
Oh, okay. Well, that is an interesting suggestion, considering the beer shortage.
Yes, that's the problem, yes.
So was the shortage before or after?
It ended up being, you're running out now since the brewing process stopped a couple of sessions back.
Because it got poisoned, basically. Mm. It was ruined.
Profaned!
So now we're busy, you know, mash busy fermenting, but it takes a week to ferment. So yeah, we're basically on short rations.
Everyone's really happy.
so it's a grim party where we're spending time commiserating and patching people up and binding wounds and repairing damaged armor and the like. So
yes, cool.
I make sure the important people have a full mug of beer. Besides myself.
And
well, me, Fandral, Flint, his other trusted lieutenants, and what's the face of the mercenaries?
Yeah, Roar, Five Oxen.
Make sure the important people have a full mug.
Oh, he's quite pleased. Okay, let's sit there then. And you're all in embroiled in this low-key, I suppose, celebration, pondering what to do next. I guess it's... your return to base camp is very recent, like maybe half a day. So, you know, you're back, you've broken out stuff. It's maybe beginning to simmer down from what it was.
Whatever healers we have are busy working on the guys who did take wounds. And
I tell Flint that, well, make sure everybody knows that they need to be packed and ready to go in the morning.
I have problems with that, sir. Let me show you.
One of the junior officers help you pack then.
No. Let me Flint starts sketching out this puzzle wall. He's pitching to Fandral. So this is absolutely an ancient marvel. So we need to check this out. With your cunning wit, I think we can break this puzzle. And who knows what glorious treasures we might find in there that may help the party as we continue on. I think it's really worth investigating.
But there are many great treasures waiting us in Scoria. That's where she go.
Yes, but Scoria, we believe, has been looted at one point. This has not been touched.
Roar sort of lifts his tankard and says, well, I don't know about this whole Possawall thing, but leaving like now, like this, when we have this great force of goblins not so far from Mar, like, I don't like it. I think we should linger and we should find an opportune time to strike at them now that they're weak.
Oh.
Well, we've seen that how many of them there are. I don't think we have the dwarf power to eliminate them. We'll let them fight amongst themselves for a while to weaken them.
Well, we don't know if that's going to take one day or a week or a year. And don't like the idea of those trolls running around, whatever happens.
Well, what we should do is, at the very least, send back our runner.
Let them start organizing.
Yeah. Aye. At least, you know, prepare the bulwarks and the so forth in case the goblins decide to attack there. But they'd be fools to do so.
Still, it wouldn't hurt to have some additional boar spears handy.
I still say we should kill the troll handler so they don't have access to them anyway.
Well, we already did that.
Well, the new troll handler, your goblin friend's spawn.
Well, he's a new troll handler. The trolls will probably take care of killing him. You can't become a troll hander in a day, sure.
I'm totally seeing a goblin in chaps and a cowboy hat.
The troll whisperer.
I think it is a concern, but it's not a concern for today, because the advantages we had with the tainted brew, we've lost that edge, and they just outnumber us like the vermin that they are.
Ah, fine. I'll send runners to Marlin.
Good call. Anyway, but that's why we need to also check out this puzzle door, because if there is treasure to be found on the other side, we can use that to continue to fund the expedition as we need additional supplies.
Oh, who are you going to buy them from? Your nearby Green Goblin grocer?
Well, we will not find places for sale on the journey. We still are not too far from Marl, so if we need to go back and or send a supply train, a small one, mind you.
Also along the way, there's going to be the way stations. You know, along there. Some of them are up on the surface. They may still be operated.
Well, if they've been looted by the filthy goblins, says Roar.
Well, we don't know until we get there.
If they're on the surface, they might have been struck down by the hideous elves.
That's why we should be moving instead of using all our supplies to sit here.
Cool. Okay, so it seems like this is a great place to bust out the Dulowitz, since you have wildly different ideas of where to go. So in a nutshell, again, this is rock, paper, scissors, which you set up three actions at a time. You sort of commit to a certain strategy. Then we reveal each other's like actions volley per volley and see how they intersect and affect each other. Like you can see in the right hand field, there's all the actions you can take, avoiding the topic, making your points, making your rebuttals, etc. And all the skills that you can employ. If you don't have a skill, you can always use beginner's luck.
Which is
probably hilarious.
Do I have any verbal? Oh, that's right. I did open up a couple, didn't I?
Yeah, you have persuasion, I think. Todd has intimidation and command and a few others. So.
Oh, I like that. Okay, it shows you what you can do with. You can incite, obfuscate, point, rebuttal. I can only do point and incite. I really can't.
Well, you can also avoid the topic, dismiss, and think.
Yeah. You can still use learning skills for this sort of thing?
Yes.
Okay, so I can do faint.
But I think we should do this, since the prince seems to be the main proponent for leaving.
Yeah.
Then maybe he's the main dude, and then Ulfkel can help with various actions.
Sure.
Perhaps Roar might find it in his heart of hearts to help Flint. So the first thing we do is write out the statements of purpose. If, for instance, Fandral would say, you know, we've lingered here long enough, it's time to move on, and that's what I want us to do. Flint's would maybe be, you know, it's imperative that we check out this puzzle wall and find out what maybe happened to the missing adventurers.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right. So write those down, please, so we have those so we can judge then how to approach compromises if we get to that point. Let's determine our main dueling skills, which is what you will test to see what your body of argument is going to be, which is your kind of argument hit points. What you're going to do is you're going to pick a main dueling skill, and this could be coarse persuasion, oratory, persuasion, if you have stentorious debate or rhetoric, that works too. If you have neither of those, then you can test it at beginner's luck. But that then means that you only get 1 point per every other success, I think, to add to your will, which makes up your body of argument.
I'll use persuasion.
Yeah, okay. And Flint, whatever skill you have or don't have?
I have a hammer, so I will pound repeatedly using incite. I will incite him, say, think, you know, about the safety of the people, your responsibility. And then I will incite him and say, think about the possibility of gold, shiny gold.
Yeah, well, that's more point. Okay.
I have an intimidate, and that means I incite, and I incite, and incite.
Yeah, incite would have to be like, are you too daft to see that we have, you know, opportunities of glory? You know, it's.
But I'm so polite.
You're going to have to cut its intimidations. Yeah. You're going to have to, you know, get close to upsetting the person who pays your salary.
Which is really just how dwarves talk anyway.
The other intimidation skill is dismiss, and I would never do that to a Fandral.
I love that you're focusing this around your characters, what he would do. That's awesome, which is how it should be.
I will be aggressive, what can I say?
Yes.
And I will try to be dutiful and loyal at the same.
However, your main dueling skill, since intimidation isn't one of them, well, if you want to be assuring, then you could always use coarse persuasion and be the whole, well, you know, think of the whole gold thing and the stuff, you know, wink, wink. Or if you want to be more loud about it, you could use stentorious debate.
I got volume, but I don't have debate.
It would be beginner's luck anyway.
Well, okay, let's get a little bit meta. Only thing I have going for me is I'm oddly likable. Please, please.
I guess that follows into persuasion then. Smiling, back slapping, assuring glances. It'll be fun.
This is not going to be pretty.
But it will be a learning experience.
I don't want to learn. I want to win the argument. I learned a Bible lesson here. Don't talk to the prince.
Maybe you can learn to win the argument. Okay, so for Todd's side, please roll your 4 will dice, which will represent your coarse persuasion. They are, by default, open-ended. No, they're not, since it's a stat test and not the skill test. Every other success, which is 4 to 6.
3 out of 4, got, not bad.
Got 3 hit points to start out with, looks like.
Okay, so since it's every other, and I saw the 5s first, let's make that 2. And add that to your will of 4, so you have a body of argument of 6. And Fandral, you roll your persuasion and add that to your will.
Do I get double hit with my wound, or it's reduced and then it's reduced on the roll as well, or how's it?
It's only 1 die, correct?
Yeah.
So you're 1 die down in everything. That's true. It does double up. So I guess your will is 5 then, and your persuasion is 5 too.
Okay. So I normally have a will of 6 and persuasion of 6.
Yes, okay. Mm-hmm. So that doubles up, so you have a 5 will for the base of your body of argument, and then you have 5 dice from your persuasion. But you can spend 1 persona point and alleviate that, and I guess that would alleviate both of them.
I'm not going to spend Artha battling against each other.
Not when he's got 10... Yeah, now we've got 10 dice versus four dice.
You do have an awful lot of fate, but I'll totally concede that it may be overkill to spend persona, unless you're Flint.
So I add 3 to my, so 8.
All right, the browser.
So it's not that much.
So 8 for our fearless prince. Now, we go to the scripting part, which is fun, which is where you decide what you want to do. All three volleys, if this had been a sheet in front of you with like a nice plastic cover, you could have used like a magic marker and just marked the what you wanted to do, like point, obfuscate, and faint, for instance, in the different volleys. So Dirk picks 3, one from each volley, and Todd picks 3, one from each volley. And when you're done, let us know.
Send those to you over chat?
No. You don't have to send it to anyone. We reveal them one at a time.
So each states your case, agree to terms. Both sides must then agree to terms of this debate before continuing. Essentially, it's a metagame condition. If I win, you'll do X. If you win, I deal Y. So basically, if Todd wins, we go check the puzzle wall. If Dirk wins, we pack up and head down the road. Would probably be it.
Baked into the statement of purpose. But yes, okay.
I want to use insight, but I guess that's not a attack action.
It is an attack action. It's just, if you look at the insight action description, it is a way for you to make your opponent hesitate, right? They must make it. If you succeed, then they have to make a steel test, which may mean they might hesitate, which you then might use in your next action immediately to your advantage by making a point where they can't do anything. You know, they're busy standing and drooling and can't defend themselves while you knock away their body of argument.
So can I open with an insight?
You definitely can, yes, absolutely. Yep. But do keep this secret.
Well, it's not a secret that I know how to intimidate and nothing else.
I already wrote down what I'm going to do, and I haven't actually read enough to get the specifics on the jiu-jitsu of this.
And the way you write it out, like, for instance, Todd would be like, maybe insight, point, and dismiss, like that. Like, for instance, that would be a script.
What was
right?
funny is, yes, that's exactly what I was going to do.
Well, that's cool, then. Then we know your side of the story. And since Dirk already, described his, let's then take, what's your first action, Dirk?
Point.
Point. Okay, so it's an insight versus a point. And then we go to the delightful little resolving Dulowitz actions and find your action, which is a point, and go toward insight, which
standard
is
test.
Standard test. Test ability listed with the action of the obstacle indicated. Okay, five successes as instructed. I'm just going to double check the book to see if that. Okay, I guess you both just fire off your actions then when you both speak your. Your parts.
Yeah, roll your dice and see how well you do. Well,
hold on, before you even think of picking up your dice. Fandral makes his point, and when Fandral has made his point, Flint incites him.
Role play!
We've been hanging in one place too long. Who knows what may be tracking us, and we should just move on.
Perfect. Keep it terse and to the point. Todd, incite!
I can't believe you're passing up this opportunity. Who knows what secrets we're going to learn? Think about the treasures we might find. Yes, I'm going to push his greed button.
And maybe tweak it a little toward an insult.
You're going to turn your back on this?
Close enough. All right, fine.
Close enough. He's way too loyal to bite the hand that feeds him.
Then Fandral picks up his persuasion dice and makes his... attack.
Do we have the people who are helping?
Oh, right. You are right, of course.
The peanut gallery.
The peanut gallery. Do you want to help in any way, Ulfkel?
No, I'm going to see how this first one goes, and I might step in the second volley.
Can I invoke a Bruno or something? She's more persuasive than I am. but not necessarily intimidating, I guess.
She's actually not here. She's conspicuously, missing is the wrong word, but not present. You do have Roar, but he seems to be sort of fuming over his tankard presently.
Well, hey, what about Five Oxen? Because he didn't want to go either.
That's Roar. Roar, Five Oxen. Yes. Oh,
derp, derp, derp. I get Roar and Rory confused.
Oh, okay.
That's my new confusion.
And can I fork?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Fork away.
I'm forking Oratorian him.
Okay, so an extra die. So you have six then. So that's a potential complete first volley destruction of poor Flint.
Right.
Okay, that's four successes.
I can throw a fate.
Yes, yes. You can spend a fate point. Yes, absolutely. You roll the six.
So you'll stop complaining that I have too much fate. I don't hoard.
I'm not going to complain about that anymore. That's over and done with.
No. Only four.
So then we reduce Flint's body of argument to two. It is a grievous wound to Flint's body of argument.
How dare you apply logic to my discussion?
So, insight. This means that you make a standard test. Obstacle is equal to the victim's will exponent, and you're in luck. The prince is actually hurt, so he only has five will. So your obstacle is only five.
Taking advantage of my wound, you bastard.
Taking advantage? You're using words at me. So, can I counter fork with clan history? I didn't really. I should have thought about that in advance. And during my insight, glorious history.
You could fork in perhaps command. You are calling him to action after a fashion.
Oh, okay.
If you have an appropriate lost dwarven secrets wise, I might accept that.
It's got rumor wise. Would that affect?
See, if I was smart, I would have done that beforehand and create.
Yeah.
Can you actually fork stuff that isn't on the list?
You can, but it's really a case by case.
I didn't pull any of the stuff in during my insight, so I guess we're just.
Yeah.
So I have a B.
You have four dice.
Oh, whoa. Before you roll anything or test anything. Yeah. Intimidation, B3, yes. And you forked in your command for one more. Yes, you have four dice. You also have five persona, and you can spend up to three on any one test. So you could spend three if you wished, or one, or whatever. He does have five will, so to even actually scratch him, you need five successes.
Huh. Well, to even have a chance of success, I guess we'll go with seven dice. We'll throw in three persona.
Okay.
Yes. You know, hey, you know, if we're going to do this, you might as well go full tilt, right? Because either this will or will not work. And what can I do with that six?
What did you roll? You rolled one, two, three, four, and you have a six. You can spend a fate, yes?
You bet I will. And dice roller... Be nice. Yes, the dice betrayed me.
Oh, it's a traitor.
Because it was a one there.
So alas, your insight action does not even dent the prince's composure.
What was that, Flint?
Why am I? Sorry.
It's so bad, you just given Flint another die.
Oh, right. You mean Fandral.
And Fandral.
Okay, so for your next action, Fandral, you get an extra die.
All right.
So then we reveal volley number two. And Fandral has what?
I just went point again.
Point again versus Todd's point.
Yes.
Point.
Which is a point versus point, which is simply standard actions. So you better hope that Fandral rolls an awful lot of traitors. Okay, so make your points again then. Fandral, you've just been incited. What's your point?
Why worry about some little vault somewhere that's probably already been looted? We need to get to Escoria, where the real treasure is.
Okay. And Flint, make your point.
The wall is not impassable. We can get through this. It will not take much time. We also have to worry about the other adventurers that have wandered away by losing their presence. We weaken ourselves. It is in our best interest to continue and pursue this.
Cool. Then we amass our different dice. We can start with Fandral. You had an extra die from the failed insight attempt, and you can fork away as you wish.
Guess I'll throw an oratory again. So that'd give me 7.
How do our deeds and dice and stuff like that work?
Deeds either lets you reroll traitors, or it doubles your skill for the purposes of one test.
Okay. Think I'm getting blown out of the water here?
We don't know yet, because you both get your points in. So,
okay, so that's 4 will I roll?
Yes, you can't fork anything in particular. Remember, it's beginner's luck, and Fandral...
He's not long for this world.
Well, the interesting thing here now is that, he rolled 2 successes and a 6. So if he spends a persona, fate...
Yes, of course.
More.
I doubt that it's going to make big money, but we'll keep spending.
You'll see when we're done.
Now he rolled a 6 again. Does he have to spend another fate to re-roll that one?
Rolling, yes.
That's right. Okay. I remember that.
Well, hey, that gave us a total of 3 successes. That's more than I expected.
Yeah. That means that Fandral's body of argument goes down by 3 to 5. Now we have Fandral's attack then. Point.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Just enough.
Whoa!
I can't see it yet. Close. Ow, wow, 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 wow. Okay. Well, you did reduce him to 0, so that's the main thing.
We'll assume that he just didn't have to try hard.
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, did I forget to mention I'm the prince?
My mouth was full, you know, as we're eating here.
And drinking and all that. That means Flint is completely blown out of the water, but since you did reduce Fandral's body of argument by a few points, he owes you a minor compromise and must grant you a small concession regarding your goal or agree to an additional minor condition that he puts forth. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, you petition the emperor to grant his sister's hand in marriage. You win, but owe him a minor compromise. He asks only that you remain loyal to him. You know, a small thing for an emperor to ask. If Fandral won, you were going to move on. And if Flint won, you were going to investigate the puzzle wall. What is a minor thing, concession, from Fandral's point of view? Regarding Flint's goal,
we'll come back for it.
Yeah, we'll do it. We'll do it
That's
later.
Never going to happen. So no,
never going to happen.
Sure.
We'll look at this wall tomorrow while everybody's packing up. But that's as soon as they're packed up, we leave, no matter what.
That sounds even maybe a little generous. So
yeah, I can't come up with another thing in between that.
No, I think it's a completely acceptable minor compromise. It's a time sensitive. You know, we're not stopping. You know, we're moving on. But in the meantime, so long as you know everyone is set, whatever time we have, we can check it out.
Of course, you know what that means. We're going through the puzzle wall next time.
Well, it does have to be a lengthy endeavor, right?
Yeah, maybe we get there, we scratch our heads. Yeah, we can't come up with anything.
Yeah, there's a timetable to keep.
Or it opens up and out steps Barty Bum or whatever his name was.
And back.
So, Dirk, your minor concession suggestion is?
We'll go investigate it while everybody's packing up, but as soon as they're packed, we go.
It's totally acceptable.
Cool. All right.
Sounds like we may be splitting the party, because I hate to say this, but Earthkill will probably still be with the party, because I don't see him actually having any reason, unless someone can convince him, to go to see that wall.
Well, we might need his crafting skills.
Oh, okay. That's good enough.
Oh, yeah. Besides, you have lots of stuff that is very useful.
Yeah. And besides, I need to leave Rory in charge and let him learn how to take care and run roughshod of the apprentices.
Before we move on to anything else, I believe that really no real test of worth was awarded in the prince's case. The first action was an insight, which was a passive defense, and the next was a straight-up test, which is routine. So no tests for advancement for Fandral. Flint, however, had 4 dice versus an obstacle, 5 intimidation test, since we don't count the... Artham. So that is a challenging test. proceeds to record under intimidation, which nicely accompanies his other challenging test.
Okay, so under Will.
Will was a straight-up routine test. And in a series of tests like a Duel of Wits, we only take the most difficult test and add it to our like advancement. And you spent 3 persona on intimidation. And Fandral spent 1 fate on
persuasion.
Persuasion. And Todd also spent 2 fate. First 1 fate on intimidation and 1 fate on Will.
Yeah. Trying to argue against Fandral is like arguing with stone.
He is the prince.
or Mayor Pennywise.
But you know what? You did get a concession, so it wasn't completely fruitless.
Sure. Hopefully the puzzle wall is something quick and simple, like alphabetize these.
Even if it isn't, you are now on a timetable. You know, as soon as you know the other dwarves are packed up, you have to leave. So you might end up in the middle of it and have to abandon it if you want to live according to the abide the concession.
It would besmirch my honor to not do so, which means move, let's go. Right. Shake a leg.
Okay, so that is Flint's reaction. You know, as soon as Fandral says, well, as soon as we're packed up, we're leaving, but in the meantime, and it's just like he doesn't even finish speaking.
Yeah, well, we got the ponies. We got to hook up the cave ponies to the carts. You know, we have...
pack everything up and nurse everyone that's been hurt.
I do have one thing I need to do before we head out to the puzzle wall. I go to the scouts that I'm responsible for. Mm-hmm. I say, men, you fought bravely. We're going to pack up and move. Take your time.
Be meticulous. Make sure you got every little thing done.
This is where taking Ulfkill with you is going to bite you in the ass, because if you had left him, it would have taken forever to pack up, because he would have been like, no, you can't put that in that, and these have to be bound together tightly and like this, and you know.
No, I'm just going to yell at Rory and then leave.
What?
You know.
You're meticulous. What if something falls off and you're obsessed?
Yeah, I know. No. But instead, I just yell at Rory and tell him, make sure everything's packed. I go, I'll check and make sure it's okay.
Oh, dear.
They only delay us for like about half a day. And...
All right. Great scene. Time.
Actually, we'll probably the brewers are probably ready tomorrow morning to go, because we'll probably pack tonight. Sleep! You can sleep when you're dead!
Like, whoever knew that brewing was such a high-stress enterprise?
You're dealing with living things there. The beer's alive. You got to make sure you got tended like a baby.
Yeah, it's stress because you're dealing with brewers. That's the stressful part. I'll accompany Ulfgeld to the brewers and help him ensure that they get quickly moving on this.
Awesome. Okay, so while Todd goes away to the scouts and gets them sort of ready to not get ready quickly, the prince and the brewer enter the little side encampment where all the brewing stuff is laid out and
smell that, sir. That's beer brewing. It'll be a great thing when it's done. But unfortunately, we still got a couple of days before we can serve it. I start knocking barrels. That's empty. Oh, we got some in here. Okay, put the full ones in that cart. The empty ones over there. Get ready. You know, and I start ignoring the prince.
I think Ulfko is going to expend too much time trying to impress the prince, and it's actually going to sabotage the prince's effort to get them moving along.
You really don't want Dirk to get any persona points, do you?
No, it's not that. I'm just saying that, Joe. Well, Flint has a plan.
Not only do you waste your own fighting me, but you want to deny the ones that I might use to save your ass. But I will, since I'm there, I can always go, no, that's good enough. Just tie that down. I'll be fine.
Oh,
You hear the sound of teeth gritting from across the way.
Okay, so the first thing
don't
I think,
use a square dot.
I think the first thing should be definitely like some kind of versus test between Fandral and Ulfkill regarding the proper packing.
Ooh, yes, I have beer wise.
I'm pretty sure that you were going to protest vehemently, and Fandral is going to just be, you know, that's fine. We don't need it to be that way. We just need to get it done.
Yeah, so I'd be commanding.
Yes, yes.
What would I have that actually would apply to? I'm almost a quartermaster. I just don't have certain skills.
It seems like a coarse persuasion with maybe a few forks, like say Cooper and Beerwise, maybe. Say, the barrels can never take that, and
you gotta lash them like this, and these are empties. They gotta go on top. The full ones gotta go on the bottom. They gotta go with the bungs this way so we can then tap them and properly, you know, and then start yelling.
If you put that there, it'll slosh over, and the beer will be bad, and yeah.
And don't forget, we also have the mash tun. We have the base of the big fermenters we got sitting there on, you know, each one is on his own cart. These have to cheat them with kid gloves. We actually finally got that one clean after what.
Yeah, we get the idea.
But it's already on the cart.
It's already on the cart. Well, it never got off the cart. You know, once you put it in the cart, you're not taking it off unless you want to disassemble it. We don't have the tools here to take it off the cart properly. We're talking a mash tun that holds, you know, several thousand gallons of water.
Don't describe it to me. Just do it.
Perfect. That's a command again.
What's that instinct of yours there, Mr.
Ridiculous?
Well, you have an instinct also.
Always follow orders to the letter. Yes, sir. Then I get a glint to my eye. But first, before we do anything, walk over to a keg. Tap, tap, tap. Here you go, sir. Have a beer. Everyone, have a beer. All right. Before we start, though, have a little prayer to the beer god.
Quick prayer to the beer god.
Oh,
please,
my
don't be a skunky beard.
Oh, great one who gave us the bread of life. Watch over us and make sure that our brews brew true and that there's no skunky beer.
Yeah, that's good enough. Drink up.
There's a whole six other stanzas, sir.
Yeah, you can do those while we're moving.
Amen. Amen. Here, amen.
The feculent Galmar comes out with his chains, and he has a tiny little cup with like
he gets some beer. I mean,
yeah,
it's empty.
Yeah.
He has a schooner size, you know.
He sort of sneers at Ulfkell and goes, "Well, it's good to have a proper prince here, you know, who knows how to take care of the stuff and get things rolling. We wouldn't have gotten anywhere if we just had this fat one in charge. Yeah, pleased to meet you, back. Mr. Prince."
Yeah, again. No, my response to seeing Gamar is, this guy's still alive?
Oh, he's gonna be taken back tomorrow to face trial in the Brewers Guild.
So what's he doing here?
Well, he may come in use. Like, we have all these empty barrels that need cleaning.
Ah, yes, sir.
Well, you better make sure he doesn't get up to any mischief there.
We'll watch over him. Besides, we'll inspect each barrel before we seal them.
You're responsible for him, then.
Aye.
Ooh. What's that other instinct of Fandral's?
Inspect
orders to be followed.
And mine's always keep your weapon handy.
Follow orders to the letter and all that.
But it still takes time. We got to pack up everything. We got to make sure the grain's okay. Everything's stowed.
Sure. Guys?
Sir, we will need to stop someplace to get more grain. Now, don't know if we can go head back to Marl to do that. So somewhere along the way, we may have to forage for more grain or something to brew with.
Maybe a little more grain. You still have grain, right?
Yeah. I got enough for probably to make the next batch, but the batch after that? We have to do a small bit after this batch, so that way we can use the grains again, and that'll stretch it out. But it won't be near as good as what we'll get all the first purring.
Let's have simply Dirk make a command test versus an orb of three, say, to get them actually moving quick enough to make a dent in this mm-hmm. in this meticulous little operation.
Yeah, I always follow words to the letters. It's so yes.
And but I'm going to give you a fate point because this is going to bite you in the ass later.
There's no way I can convince him to do as quick as you can, but take it to make sure you do it right.
You're probably doing that sort of when Fandral has passed over something, you're like lingering, like, do it this way, do it that way. No, no, no.
Yeah, I didn't make
using
it.
I'm sorry?
I didn't make it. I only got
you
two.
Didn't. Ah, okay. So in that case,
I'm undoing his good work behind him.
Yeah.
Every time he turns around, I smile and sitting there with my mug in my hand, and then he turns back. Oh, no, you're doing it wrong.
I do that. Mr. Fandral, at least you're getting fate for expecting your orders to be followed.
Well, they will be followed, just not as quickly as he wants.
Okay.
That's the difference between commanding troops and commanding beer brewing.
Yeah.
Because one has discipline, the other, not so much.
It looks like they're getting things done when you're, you know, done, and you can, you know, safely put your hands behind your back and wander off. And
oh, there are no layabouts in my apprentices.
Oh, no.
They're all so.
They're just made to do the work twice. One final thing. When you're about running about the scouts here, you come across Bruna, who's sort of sitting a little on her own with like a crumpled note in her hand, and she's not looking pleased. And, you know, she's not even touching the half-empty tankard of beer beside her.
Well, I'm not necessarily the most charming and smooth of operators, but I will approach her, see the note. I say, bad news?
Oh, you have no idea.
Enlighten me.
Well, you know,
matter of fact, I'm heading over to the puzzle wall. Won't you tell me along the way?
You're just not losing any time.
It's night time. Well, of course, it's always night in the tunnels. So
that's romantic to a dwarf, right?
Well, gee, Flint, I'm sorry that my little issue is delaying your important trip into your silly little puzzle wall. And, you know, she goes into this knee-jerk, volatile rant.
I'll put my hands on her shoulders and say, listen, dearest. So, by command
Ooh,
of the prince.
The dearest.
Yeah. Okay, so that may have been a flaw. We'll worry about that later. By command of the prince, we are limited on time, but I consider you important enough to listen to as we go. Tell me of your problems.
Ah, fine. You know that elderly damn grandfather of mine called with the old... You had that incident with the whole keg, and... Well, guess what the old fart's done? He's gone and promised me to marry a wealthy herder from Regolith. Without even asking me.
That is ambitious of him. I don't think someone of your station and skills should be left herding goats.
You don't say.
You know, if you can prove your worth to the prince, I'm willing to bet you can achieve a higher station and dodge this duty.
She's silent for a bit when you're walking. She stops, actually, since you've sort of started walking. And then she sort of, her face lights up and, you know, you can see that she's got belief brewing. And she's like, yes, of course, Flint, you're a genius. And she grabs you by the beard, and it's a very tense moment, and you're not sure where it's going to go. I will get Fandral to annul the agreement. Of course, no time to lose. And she sort of slaps you on the shoulder and runs you in the opposite direction.
But puzzle wall, we're doing this for the prince. You got to score points with him.
Well, you know, she's like looking right, left. Well,
come now.
Well, okay, fine. But tell me, what's this about?
And I will explain along the way.
Okay, and she's of course asking you all about like how can she prove herself to the prince by this endeavor.
Showing your diligence and wit and dedication to the task at hand. These are things that he appreciates.
Do you think I should put my hair in a bun?
given that. So it's like, I don't have hair-wise. Well, she knows I'll be honest about it, though.
True. And I think that's kind of where we can leave it, unless you have some frightfully witty comeback.
No. It would be something like, well, it does offer a tactical advantage.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's very Flint. Let's hop on over real quickly to the Arta Awards. Arta Awards. I'm just going to say Arta from now on.
So I didn't actually roll anything, so all I do is I get that fate.
Yes, that's true. You did say you wanted to support Fandral, and, well, okay, maybe you didn't expect him to win right like that. Though, no, you didn't.
I did.
That happened. I don't know.
No, that's why I sat back. I was going, if he was got in trouble, I would use my coarse persuasion to assist, but he never really got in trouble.
This is, you know, what it's like when you're back in the saddle and haven't played in months. You know, at least all of you pursued your various beliefs. And in Ulfkell's case, well, did you?
Well, not well. I am. I did say I was going to sit Rory to working in with, you know, supervising the younger apprentices to make sure they're doing everything right. Mm-hmm. That's going to be demanding. So it's sort of my way of getting, preparing him for his test to be a brewer.
I guess it'll come in the next couple of sessions then. We'll skip that. But certainly Fandral and Flint hit their beliefs. Fate-wise, you tested skills and abilities for Dulowitz-related beliefs. So that's one each. And certainly, like you said, John, your instinct got you in trouble there, letting Fandral sort of... have his way there. Of course, since Fandral failed and expects his orders to be followed to the letter, that gets him a fate. No real trait elements this time. I certainly think you all should get a humor fate all round.
Yay.
I don't think there was any particular element of you know, super clever character building with the right skill, right time. But I'm at least giving all of you a persona for embodiment. I think you know, it didn't take you long to get back in the dwarf mold. Let's see. I think the only person who actually got his personal goal was Flint, right? He's the only one who actually completed, achieved his stated belief I guess not. He didn't. No, you didn't actually convince Fandral that, you know, the puzzle war was a good idea.
Well, I got a concession out of him.
You did get a concession.
So, to me, that's as close of a victory as I can get.
Let's open it up to the rest of you. Do you think he's worth a persona, or is it nebulous enough to leave it?
You gotta remember, I'm fighting the mountain, so I'm quite happy for a few chips off the boulder there. If he would have truly torpedoed me, we'd be packed off and down the road by now.
That's true. And, you know, we know all what happens to when plans meet reality.
Plans meet brewers.
Yeah. I was thinking the same thing.
Well, you can't get me more real than a brewer.
You know, I'm not. You're not getting that persona. Sorry. We're moving on to workhorse and most valued player. And for the workhorse, it's totally the person most relied upon in a given scenario. I don't think we really had that type of... session this time.
Fighting each other.
Yeah, no one really slaving away behind the scene to make it all work.
Yeah.
Then most valued player. Then, damn, we couldn't have done it without him. Character who brings the story to its conclusion, who shines in the last moments.
I guess it's
up to you to vote, but I would maybe forward Flint for at least bringing the story in a direction.
Yeah.
Can I vote for myself because I'm shallow?
Yes, you can.
Yeah.
But that's only one vote. You need Flint and you need Dirk and John too. Yeah.
I achieved my goals even if I didn't do it victoriously, and I've motivated people and slowed down the right people. I like to think that I'm wheeling and dealing and got everybody heading in my direction.
For now.
For now. So, Flynn thinks he's a hero in his own mind. He says, like, yes, I got a concession.
Yeah. It's like the super happy servant who gets a scrap from the master's table.
Absolutely. Chunk of fat. Woohoo. At least from Flint vision. I stood up to the boss while still maintaining honor and loyalty, got a concession, got some personal info on Bruna, turned around and took a bad situation and had her praising me for it. This is a gold star day for him.
Yeah, okay, I'll agree with that. Yeah, okay, I say yes. How about you, Dirk?
You're in your full right to say no, Dirk.
All right, so let's hope he doesn't spend this persona against me.
Oh, dear. Well, at least it's going towards shape-shifting him so he can be a more valuable right axe man. And no deeds for this time. Cool. So then we have a brief jaunt to Puzzle Wall Land next time and getting shit rolling and horrible consequences for lovely instincts.
Cool.
Catch you next time.
Y'all take care.
Bye-bye, guys. Thanks for today.
Bye.
Grab the beard and take a snoz full of it. Beard. Blah.
Blah.
Fail. Yeah. That's a audio note to Dirk to I'll just edit that part out.
Probably put that up front.
Is this situation anything that you think could be fun if we were to do this
as a character, Fandral would want to make sure as much of the party stayed together as long as possible so we're at maximum strength when we get the Scoria Deep. So having a whole company go off on their own is against the success of the mission as a whole.
So, Flint wants that.
Yeah, who did I say?
Fandral. But that's fine. Just so we know who you mean.
I know Flint wants to be Fandral.
The dwarf who would be Fandral.
Okay, that's bad when I can't remember my own name. Flint.
Flint like Flint. Yep.
Yes.
You're not the only one. All three of you do that.
I'm sure it makes editing wonderful. Yeah. So that maybe during editing you just change it with static or
or you just have someplace off to the side. You have the name. Fandral, me saying Fandral, me saying Flint, and then it's moving around. And it's just copy, paste, copy, paste.
No, it's confusion reigns.
Add a conjugate and test Rory to see if he's ready to become a journeyman.
No.
You can't do
only,
that?
Only one goddamn goal per
there.
You shouldn't have more like, scour. It should simply be...
its own belief?
No, it should simply be words. The two dots that you have at the end of a sort of sentence to say that this is a gate to a new thing, like the two dots,
the semicolon.
That's a dot and a comma, right?
Oh,
a colon. Well, there you go. Yeah. There you go. Yes. And it's hilarious. I watched an interview with Ian McKellen and Christopher Lee about like how to pronounce everything in the Lord of the Rings, and Christopher Lee being the Lord of the Rings consummate super fan, down to everything, and so like Ian McKellen will always have like trouble with his scenes with Christopher, because Christopher will go, no, it's Saruman. Saruman.
This is the advantage of a nice, solid, earthy name like Flint. No problems with spelling.
Except you keep pronouncing it Fandral.
Yeah, but I don't hear you at all now. All right, if I switch back to internal speakers, I can hear you just fine.
Test.
Can you?
Yeah.
No, it's just, yeah, you shouldn't have said that about John Todd. That was really awful.
Off comes the Bluetooth.
Hopefully that will get edited out.
Yeah.
So is that cool with Dirk?
Yeah.
You're muted, Dirk.
Am I?
We Dirk? Can't hear you, Dirk.
Oh, no.
Oops, go check the... he's still there.
You're Oop. Talking. I think you're muted.
Okay. How about now?
Yes. Okay.
Everyone, listen. If you are listening to this, if it doesn't get cut out, take a drink.
I'll cut that out.
Awesome. So what does that
make him sound better?
No, I'm going to cut out John's part. Send all complaints and other feedback at sunnyskypers@zoho.com or come by the forums, sunnyskypers.freeforums.org, or yell at us at whatever forum you may come across us on.